Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart and Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to a Friday, July the 20th. Glad you're with us, wherever you might be listening, on WDWS.com. A lot of people stream us that way. Of course, you're listening to us on the radio, wherever you might be, and you can reach us a variety of ways, as Gene just mentioned, either on the phone, on the text line, or via the email. Busy morning today. You heard Dave Gentry with all the coverage of the start of the Champaign County Fair. That's always pretty cool when that gets started over at the fairgrounds there in Urbana. So looking forward to getting that underway. Lots of stories to talk about. We'll have some open line time here for the first 40 minutes or so. So whatever is on your mind and stories of the day. Don't know if you saw the headline story here from Branson. And I think at one point in our lives, most of us have ridden those duck boats, the ducks, they call them. If you've been up to Wisconsin Dells or Branson or wherever, they have, you know, the vehicles that can drive on land and then go into the water. One of those capsized in some high winds and a storm killed at least 13 down in Branson. That's a big national story. Also, the president making some news, criticizing the Federal Reserve as well as some of the largest U.S. trading partners over monetary policy. Also, apparently, discussions underway to have Vladimir Putin come to Washington, D.C. in the fall. The president predicting U.S. farmers will emerge victorious from a trade dispute involving that has affected soybean prices. New Illinois law requiring a 72-hour waiting period for all firearm purchases. That has caused a bit of a stir. Mentioned the start of the county fair. The Champaign County Board voting down a proposal last night from the Democratic side that would have asked voters in November if they wanted to eliminate the Recorder of Deeds office. That's been a big local story. So those are just some of the headlines here locally. They announced the start of Illinois football practice starting up August 3rd in a couple of weeks. We'll be in Chicago next week for Big Ten Media Day, so that's going to keep us busy next week. We'll broadcast live there on Tuesday on this very show. Later this hour, we're going to talk to Bob Osmus in a few minutes. Of course, you know him covering sports. He's been the Illinois football beat writer for many years now. Just to talk a little bit about the reunion this weekend, 2007 Illini football team that went to the Rose Bowl, January 1 of 2008, played USC out there at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Just a beautiful setting, but we'll talk about that season and the reunion a little bit, have a couple of highlights for you from that year. The second hour, I think, will be pretty interesting to you because we've all seen it. You pull up somewhere, you pull off the interstate, maybe you pull out of Walmart, and there's somebody there that is asking for help. They have a sign, maybe a handmade sign. They say, hey, I need help. I've got five kids. I'm a veteran. I need help. And you think, well, boy, I really like to help. Should I? And we're going to talk about panhandling a little bit. Lieutenant Bruce Ramseer from the Champaign Police Department is going to join us for a little bit in the second hour. Also, Gail Ross from over at the University of Illinois. She'll talk about a story she experienced down in Florida, I believe it was, a panhandling experience. But what do we do here locally in regards to that? How should we help? Is it better to give to the agencies that support those? There are homeless, of course, that truly need it. See You at Home and other agencies around, Salvation Army and others, do a great job with all of that. But what about the panhandling side of things? So we'll talk about that a little bit in the second hour. If we get some time, we'll have more open line time at the end of the show today. So kind of packed it in here on a Friday. Lots of things to talk about. 356-9397. Text line is 351-5357, and you can email us talk at WDWS.com. We'll take our opening break and get it all started. Open line time to start after this. Headed for a high of 83 today, 74 right now in downtown Champaign. As we look out on downtown, the City Building and PNC Bank Building across the street, all of those folks, boy, it looks very nice out there. Glad you're with us, wherever you might be today. Check out our new speakers outside the building here at 15 Main next time you're walking by. Usually you can hear the show while it's going on out there. But glad you're with us today, 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357, or email us, talk@wdws.com. If you're looking to get a home, if you're going to look at a home, maybe you're expanding, maybe you're downsizing, especially if you're going up, though. If you're looking to increase the size of your home and you think, well, gee, I wonder how much I could afford to actually do, or what would a bank even pre-approve me for? I mean, that's important. I mean, you can save yourself a lot of work and a lot of steps if you just kind of know the information going in. Damian Spencer, the bank, can help with that at 1710 South Neal. He works closely with Steve and Pam Starwalt, and they can get you lined up with Damian to determine if you're pre-approved for purchasing a home, how much you're pre-approved for when looking at a certain size home. So today is Friday. Of course, most of the, 2 to 4 on Saturday, 2 to 4 on Sunday, usually when the open houses are. And if you need to find out how much you're pre-approved for, you can find that out today. So here's the number to call, 239-7156, 239-7156. That's the number for Steve and Pam Starwalt. They will then get you in touch with Damian at Fisher National Bank, 1710 South Neal in Champaign. Damian's been at this. He's been in the mortgage lending business for over 20 years. He's worked closely with Steve and Pam Starwalt at Keller Williams for 10 years. So they're a great team. They work together. So make sure that you get with him and get this all straight and have the numbers in front of you. And then you'll know what you're doing this weekend. I mean, it's really helpful. Sometimes you go into these homes and eyes are bigger than your stomach. You know, maybe I could afford this, but I don't even know how much I could get approved for. So I've told you that now. Do the homework. Let them do the homework for you. Be armed with that information when you go visit these homes this weekend. So, again, Steve and Pam Starwalt working with Damian Spencer, Fisher National Bank. Fisher National Bank also has locations in Mahomet and Fisher. Glad you are with us on the team here at Penny for Your Thoughts, and hope you'll give them a call. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines. Got leftover email from yesterday from Sue, came in at the end of the show. If the Democrats and news media had just said that Trump did a very poor job at the news conference, I would have agreed with them. But when they compared it to 9/11, Pearl Harbor, and the Holocaust, I could not believe it. What is wrong with these people? That is email from Sue, left over from late yesterday. And also got a text in this morning. Says, Brian, the family that started the Branson Duck Boat Tours moved from Champaign to Branson. The McDowell family, Jack McDowell, retired from Kraft, started the tours in and around 1977. Talking about the duck boat accident down in Branson. And you've ridden on those, right? Wisconsin Dells is where I've come across them in recent, growing up as a kid. But they've always been there. But, yeah, I guess got caught in a storm, capsized, 13 people dead as a result down in Branson. So certainly thoughts are with those folks down there. A couple of things yesterday as we work our way through this hour. If you want to get some open line conversation here, now is the time to do it between now and about 9:40. Bob Osmussen will join me. We'll talk panhandling in the second hour with a couple of guests on that, one from the Champaign Police Department, another from the comparing Barack Obama and Donald Trump with their styles and how a lot of times the language or the verbiage they use. This article says, and this is from the Richmond Times in Virginia, says they both kind of have the same effect, but they go at it differently. It says President Trump's rhetoric is rough, careless, often inaccurate. His language frequently undermines his policies, which are sometimes sound. Obama, on the other hand, always preferred silky slights and very soft verbal assaults. Where Trump's untruths tend to be crass and obvious, Obama's are usually lawlerly and sly. But the Richmond Times says the result is ultimately the same, an understandable decline in America's trust in their leaders. The United States, for reasons that remain not entirely clear, says the editorial, has chosen two consecutive presidents whose personalities are grandiose, whose tolerance for opposing points of view is low, and whose language, though wildly different in tone and temperament, encourages Americans to sort themselves into blue and red teams and have at it. So I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting editorial from out in Richmond, Virginia. Wanted to get to that. Didn't have a chance to touch on that yesterday. And also mentioned yesterday, we ran out of time because we had a lot of activity. Joe Biden leading in some of the 2020 polls, this out of the Washington Examiner. And again, this is way early for this, so it doesn't mean a hill of beans, other than it's just interesting to look at. Joe Biden, of the people that were polled for 2020 among Democratic voters, Biden with 21% of the votes, Bernie Sanders 19%, Oprah Winfrey had 10%, not sure 29%, and a lot of the other folks were in single digits, including Elizabeth Warren at 6%, Andrew Cuomo at 4%, Terry McAuliffe at 1%, Cory Booker at 4%, Kristen Gildebrand at 1%, Eric Holder at 1%. So it's way early, but that's just interesting. Joe Biden, who says he'll decide to run in January, whether or not he's going to run. And I forget where they reached him. He was somewhere in South America when they asked him to comment on that story. All right, 356-9397 is how you can join us. President Trump predicting that U.S. farmers will emerge victorious from a trade dispute that has hurt soybean prices. Trump in a tweet blaming poor soybean prices on terrible trade deals with U.S. trading partners in the past. He's also pointing to Canada's placement of high tariffs on dairy products. And he's shown a willingness, he says he may escalate his trade fight with China, and showing a willingness to place tariffs on up to $500 billion in products imported from China. The administration has slapped $34 billion in Chinese goods in tariffs. Today, China's retaliated with duties on soybeans and pork. So that's some of the national headlines. Of course, Champaign County Fair opening up tonight. Tonight is preview night. Auto racing at 6. Fair runs all week. Trace Adkins takes the stage at 7 p.m. Friday the 27th in a week. And if you are new to the area, the fairgrounds north of Crystal Lake Park in Urbana, accessible via Kohler Avenue. And you can drop people off Fairview Avenue, Kohler to Orchard, a drop-off spot for taxis and ride shares. And you can visit WDWS.com for your fair guide for the Champaign County Fair. All right, let's go to the phones, to Tiny. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Brian. How about you?
I'm doing well on this Friday.
Good. This political situation we're in today in this country is almost unbearable. We can't have any faith in our news. One's one way, the other one's the other way. My opinion is Trump has been, and this Russian thing is just all politics. He made a little screw up, maybe, and maybe he didn't. I think Trump's the best president we ever had in my 92 years of living in this country that I can remember. He's conscientious, I think. He's wild and woolly. I think he's all man. You was comparing Trump and Obama a while ago. Well, I can remember not long ago when we used to call Carter our worst president. Well, Obama has made Carter look like George Washington. The sad part about this is he's black. And people are going to say, well, you know, the old race card. I think he was terrible. Maybe I'm wrong, but I doubt it. Trump's the greatest. And Obama, he just keeps wanting to stick his nose into affairs. It's none of his business, and he's cutting us bad. He's not for the country. He's for Obama. And that's the reason I think he's bad. And somebody call up, prove me wrong.
Yeah. Well, and
that's all I got this morning.
All right. Uh-huh. Hey, thank you, Tiny.
Tell me what you think.
Well, I think, look, they have different, obviously they're on the different ends of the political spectrum. And, with Obama's policies, when he was elected, he was probably the most liberal senator in the U.S. Senate. So I don't think it's any surprise that, you know, he governed the way he did.
Well,
so
one thing that, I want to interrupt because I'm afraid you'll hang up on me.
Oh, no, I won't do that.
Obama went into politics with a for sale thing, for sale sign hanging around his neck. He went to Springfield as a senator. He had well-established contact with four of the biggest crooks over there. My memory's not that good anymore, but I remember, I think his name was Cellini, that he got his house off of.
Yeah, I think Bob Cellini, I think, was the guy's name. Was that right?
I don't know whether he ever went to jail or not, but he was tried.
Hmm.
Three of the other guys went to jail, and I don't remember whether Cellini did or not. He bought that house off of Cellini for half of what the market was. They had this information I got out of the Tribune years ago. And they told us he was for sale. And he stayed for sale all the time he was in there, him and Hillary. That's one of the reasons I don't care for him. He was kind of like Blagojevich.
Well, he came from Illinois and was connected to a lot of the Chicago politicians. So,
yeah,
you know, that is true.
Well, thank you very
all
much.
Right. Thank you, Tiny. Have a great weekend, okay?
Yes, sir.
Yep, you bet. 356-9397 is how you can join us. Yeah, Obama's rise was pretty meteoric. Remember he gave the speech at the, was it 04? The red state, blue state speech that he gave. And, you know, at the time, I remember at the time when he was first running in 07, I guess, is when he started running. People were like, well, it's nice that he's running, but he's probably 10 years away. And then, of course, it got swept up with the start he had in Iowa, and pretty soon he was, you know, it was a neck-and-neck race, and the next thing you know, he's the nominee. Happened pretty fast. Zoe, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well. Ready for the weekend.
Oh, I know. It's beautiful weather. I just guess I wanted to put my 2 cents in about President Trump and Obama. My view is Trump's not as inaccurate as often as some people claim, and a lot of times when he is, I think it's more his brain gets out of sync with his tongue, and he, you know, just it's more a misspeaking than I feel that Obama deliberately deceived, and I watched him do it just almost every day, and it was very. He was very sort of subtle about it and very good at it. And it used to just make me so furious. And I wouldn't ever trust him. Whereas I think Trump, it's more, I don't think it's deliberate most of the time, if ever.
Well, I think a lot of, for instance, you know, Trump will do things that'll be like, now he just didn't do that, did he? Like he just invited Vladimir Putin to Washington.
Right.
Now you think in the middle of all of this, most typical politicians would like hunker down and hide and try to figure all this out and do damage control, and he's like, "Hey, we're inviting him to Washington." And I don't most people are like, "He's doing what?"
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But you know, he did say when he, you know, made a mistake about the you know, some of the reports from the intelligence community, and I think a lot of times it's just he gets ahead of his, you know, himself kind of, and it speaks probably before he should. But I think it's more of a hasty temperament thing.
Yeah, well, and part of it with the whole Russian collusion thing, what he's done, if people on one end are saying, hey, you know, he colluded and he's a Russian puppet and all of this, and the fact that the Russians meddled proves that he colluded with them, and then they can't separate the two. Other people are like, well, the Russians did meddle, but that doesn't prove that he colluded with them.
Not at all.
And I think that's where most people are, I think.
Right, I think there's more evidence that maybe Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton colluded. But I think maybe Trump feels he can't say that right now. And so he just says no collusion. Because, and I think that's probably might be a mistake, but on the other hand, he may know what he's doing. Yeah. So I don't know.
So sometimes you don't see it right away, but there are times so far that it's like, oh, I see what he was doing, but it doesn't come out right away.
This is often what I'm noticing more and more. So we'll see. We'll just have to see how things play out. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks, Zoe.
Bye-bye.
And we'll take a quick break. Back with John. Right after this, time out on Penny for Your Thoughts. 9:29, Penny for Your Thoughts. News headlines coming up here with Michael Kaiser. John joins us here at the bottom of this hour. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Now, I'm listening to Zoe, and she brought up a good point. She said when she looks at President Obama that it's like there's something hidden in all this. But the thing about it is, can you imagine if President Obama was not black, but if he was white? Look how many white politicians that have been in office, been out of office. But all of a sudden, President Obama come up, it's like the dark side of America comes out again. We need to get away from that theory. Can you imagine if the Indians had said, pale face, go home? But they didn't. They accepted the Americans. Then it was turned on the Indians. Just like all these people out here telling people of color, go home, go back where you come from. Can you imagine if other people start telling white people, go home where you came from? We don't know where everybody's came from. So the way Zoe was talking, I understand her points, but we need to get away from the dark side of America, because if you bring up the history, it's going to be terrible. That is the biggest thing that we can't get away from in this country, is racism. We're still talking about President Obama, what he didn't do. If Congress had to work with him, look how long Trump has been in office, and look at what they said Trump has accomplished. He really hasn't accomplished anything, because he's living off of President Obama's legacy, what he tried to do, but he couldn't do it because of Congress. I mean, we need to get away from that. Trump has not did nothing. But I will say, on behalf of President Obama, as a black American, he never turned his back on America in the public eye. Yes, he told the former Russian president when he get reelected, he have more power. He's trying to tell him, look, I can work with everybody and anybody. Right now, my term is up, but I get a new term, I can move forward. Everybody looked at that like, oh, he's putting down America. No. What President Trump did Monday, that is uncalled for. That is embarrassing. You can twist it, you can turn it any way you can. You embarrassed America. Now, are we going to go forward or are we going to go backwards? It's not Hillary Clinton. It's not President Obama. It's not President Bush. It's Trump. That's what we got to worry about in America.
All right. Hey, John, thank you, sir.
This is America.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Brian.
All right. We need to get to the news. Michael Kaiser waiting patiently, and he is coming up next here on Penny for Your Thoughts here as we break for the news at the bottom of the hour.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
937, 74 degrees. Bob Osmussen is going to join me here in a little bit, about 10 minutes or so, and we'll talk about the 07 Illini football team that went to the Rose Bowl January 1 of 08 and relive a couple of moments, maybe two or three moments, or maybe a couple more on top of that from that year, Juice Williams and company, Rashard Mendenhall. We'll do that towards the end of this hour. We'll talk about panhandling in hour number two with a couple of guests, so we'll do that, and then maybe some more open line time. And this is a big anniversary, too, landing on the moon, walking on the moon this day, 1969. If you're like me, or if you've been in an accident, your mind is racing at the time, and you don't know what to do. You've had an accident. I mean, I did it leaving for town on vacation, of all things. Crashed. Wasn't paying attention. Had to get a rental car, do all that, and you just beat yourself up, and you're like, what in the world was I doing? Or you're either that or you're really mad, and it's okay, I guess. You're upset with the other person, but, you know, you need to calm down, get over it quickly, and get the insurance information exchange. Then get a hold of Dave Miller and Bill Gallo at Gallo Miller and turn over the keys to them, and they will get everything taken care of for you. They'll deal with the insurance adjusters. They'll do all the phone calling, get you set up, get your vehicle back to factory safety specifications. They've worked in the insurance business. They've ran body shops. They've done it all. They know what a hassle it is. It's a big hassle. I mean, there's no good time for an accident. There's just not. Free estimates are always offered, so you can take care of that. Conveniently and centrally located in Champaign-Urbana. Look at the building, attractive building, on the south side of I-74 there on Kenyon Road between Neal and Prospect, between the exits, gallomiller.com. Make sure you visit them if you have need of their services. And they hope you don't, but if you do, Gallo Miller, and get everything settled down and get calmed down. Give them the keys. They'll take care of it. All right, one of our sponsors here on Penny. Steve is up next. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing well today.
Good for you. Well, it's sad, but I listened to Penny for Your Thoughts for years and years. I'm in my mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no one, absolutely no one, that divided this country more than Barack Obama. And John's been an apologist for Barack Obama since the beginning. He's not the savior for this world. The reason he rose to power was he was funded by George Soros. He was sponsored by Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, him and Michelle. Michelle worked in a law firm with Bernadine. And they're radicals. They're Marxists, and that's exactly what Obama was. And then he goes out and tells the American people he was a professor in Chicago and constitutional law. That's the biggest lie there ever was, and he told it millions of times. So, you know, let's just move on from Barack Obama. When have you ever seen an outgoing president, go from no money at all to purchasing over a million-dollar home in Chicago and getting set up there? And when he gets out of office, he goes and Soros purchases another multi-million-dollar home 2 miles from the White House. His CIA director goes to work for CNN, and his NSA director, who oversees all the intelligence, goes to work for MSNBC. I mean, that's unheard of in this country, and it's ridiculous. And all this blow up is because if you watch C-SPAN at all, where they have the congressional committees, they've been blown out of the water. The 10 of the top FBI agents have either been moved down. They had stroke in there this week. I recorded all that and watched it. It's a disgrace what Obama did with our intelligence agencies, and they're proving it every day on CNN and MSNBC.
Okay. Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate your input, and thanks for calling me today, okay?
Thank you.
Yep, you bet. One of the comments had to do with the former president. And again, this is just all in the Richmond Times. They were just talking about how maybe alike, in a way, different styles. Obama's more a lecturer. You know, he was a professor, a lecturer, and all of that that was talked about there. Professor of law, whatever the exact title was. And it said the former president, this is the Richmond Times, which was generally supportive of President Obama, said too often assumes his political opponents are motivated by bad intentions. And it says, I hope the current members of Congress, when we were talking about the Affordable Care Act, recall that it actually doesn't take a lot of courage to aid those who are already powerful, already comfortable, but it does require some courage to champion the vulnerable and the sick and the infirm. And this columnist said, in plainer language, my opponents don't care about sick people or old folks. Nice. Just said it in a different way. But they say Trump is more of a bare-knuckle brawler. I mean, he just throws it up, the high hard ones, and makes people mad and gets a more visceral reaction. And as far as presidents, there are a lot of presidents that make a lot of money. I mean, you go around the world, you can speak. They'll pay you a lot of money to show up and speak. So that's not totally unusual that they would make a lot of money after they are president. I don't think President Obama, former President Obama, is alone in that. So, but they all do pretty well afterwards, especially nowadays. Hey, Thomas, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in on this this topic or subject that's going on this morning. I think that the article definitely brings the comparison between Trump and Obama to the forefront, but I think that biggest thing that about Trump that many of us voted for him for was that he was anti-establishment. And right now it seems as though that's not the focus of a lot of the listening audience, at least, but more on the fray between the Democrats and the Republicans. I mean, if you turn back and you look at the establishment and how they played a role in the current condition of the country, I think it would stand out or stick out a little bit more important than what some of the people are giving or are paying attention to, lack of a better way to say that. But
it's kind of become it's been a little bit of a three-sided battle. In other words, you've got Trump, who's a complete outsider, as you said. That was part of his appeal, I think, was just like Andrew Jackson coming in years and years ago, when he came in. I mean, it was kind of a revolt, I guess, against the aristocrats or the swamp or whatever you want to call it. And it had kind of a similar vibe to it, but it's kind of become a three-sided thing. It's a lot of Republicans, some Republicans against Trump, against the Democrats, and that's kind of stirred the pot quite a bit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I agree.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And let's see here. Anna Wall. Hi, Anna Wall. How are you?
I was doing fine until one of the callers called in. I must say something. I happen to be an Afro-American. Obama calls himself an Afro-American. But I have been taught that it ain't your color, it's your kind. And I wish the folks would put the damn race card back in the deck. Obama was atrocious as far as black people are concerned. He did nothing to attempt to raise the levels of aspirations of black children and to use himself as an example of what America's all about and how good America is. So I want to go on record as disagreeing with everything Mr. John, or whatever his name is, had to say. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it, Anna Wall. And, John's been a regular caller. Seems like a really good guy. And he's had some good opinions over time and expressed it there, and some people disagree. Hey, Don, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I was calling in regards to John. That's what I was saying. The 60s called. They want the revolution back. Nobody cares about the color of your skin anymore. It's the content of your character. We learned from the king, Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. And not only white people learned that, millions of black people did too. Yeah, we're tired of it. Nobody cares about the color of your skin. It's irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant. But I guess John's against the lowest black unemployment in history. Why would you be against that? Why would you be against 4% GDP? Come on, John, get with the program. But what I was calling is, seems to be a bit of a liberal privilege on the show lately. I mean, Jim used to stop people from using vulgar names against the president and calling them a racist and stuff like that. It seems like nowadays they get all the time in the world and get to call him whatever they want. I guess only because he's white. It's Trump. I don't know.
Well, I don't. What are you referring to? Kidnapper in chief? Is that one? Somebody called. I haven't allowed any vulgarity. I mean,
Stan especially, well. It's amazing. He should not. No, it should not be allowed. I mean, it's coming to the point. It's coming to the point because the media allows it to where they are our enemy, because they are not with us. And it's coming to the point because the media and the FBI and the DOJ and all the Democrats are bringing it to that point.
Yeah.
You guys don't get on here any day and say the good things Trump's doing. You guys never, ever have a segment for 2 minutes where you tell all the good things that's happened since Trump's been in the office. Ever.
Oh, I think there's a lot of it that gets on. I beg to differ. So, all right.
Okay.
Hey, Don, I got to move to football here, okay? Thank you, sir.
Have a good one.
Yep. Bill says, I think I just was called a racist by John. Check the economy, tax rates, condition of IAS. ISIS, I guess. Tell me President Obama was more effective. I didn't consider race in my opposition of Obama, but it seems a lot of people base their support on his race. That's from Bill. And a text in the other way says, I can't understand how people can support Trump. His administration is corrupt. He's making a ton of money for himself while in office. Well, he made a ton of money before he got into office. And he has over 3,500 lies. Somebody's keeping count, I guess, since taking office. He's been sued over 4,500 times. He only truly cares for himself. Putin has him in his pocket. Despicable. That is a text in on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line. We take them all, so if you want to send them in, we'll get them on for you. All right, 9:48, take a quick break. Bob Osman pops in here next. We'll talk about the 07 reunion this weekend for football in a moment.
Dufresne checks in at tailback to give Richard a breather. Here's the snap back to Juice. He is going to hand to Dufresne. Turning the left in. Dives for the pylon. He's got it. Touchdown, Illinois.
And that's the great thing about being confident in your backups. You put him in to give Mendenhall a breather, and he breaks one for a touchdown.
The Illini and Syracuse. Two receivers to the right, one left. From the Syracuse 22-yard line, just inside the 23. Juice Williams back to pass on first and 10. Looking to run now as he can't find anybody open. Now he will throw it to the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Jeff Cumberland. The tight end with a catch in the end zone. And my, was that easy. Right down the field. Illinois scores. Touchdown, Illinois. The loss of down, it's fourth and 27. And they'll kick it from the 16, but the punter, again, is Adam Crossett. He'll stand inside the 5-yard line at the 3. No score, 8:55 to go. First quarter, Illinois about to get it back, and they'll have it in good field position. And about the 3 is where the punter stands. Here's a snap back rush.
Oh! Block! Yeah! Block! Ball is loose. It is picked up by Illinois. Vontae Davis has it, and he's got it in the end zone for a touchdown!
He blocks it and picks it up. He does it all himself. Great play.
And boy, you talk about a happy young man. Vontae Davis runs to the Illini orange in the corner. He blocked it and he fell on it, picked it up. Illinois is up 6-0 here in the first quarter.
So there's some names you heard from the past. Vontae Davis was in there. Jeff Cumberland, Juice Williams, Daniel Dufresne, Richard Mendenhall. Bob Osmussen is here, beat writer for football. That was a fun year, wasn't it?
That was a lot of fun. And I've talked a lot about this. It was so unexpected. They were 2-10 the year before. So with 2001, when they won the Big Ten, you sort of saw that coming. Because 99, they had a great year.
Right.
2000 was an off year, but they were still pretty good. So this year, 2007, you had no idea. I thought they'd be better. But not this much better.
Yeah. Well, they got a big reunion this weekend, right?
Right.
A lot of guys coming back for it?
I think I saw 70, which is awesome.
Right?
That's a lot of players.
Yeah.
And a lot of other people, support people, of course, people here and people coming back from different walks of life.
And so, I mentioned some of those names. I know Aurelius Ben, you talked to him during the week.
Talked to him. Juice Williams, of course. GLM and, of course, Martin O'Donnell live here, so that's pretty easy commute for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact Ron Zook is coming back. I caught him on his drive back from Florida yesterday. He's almost here. I think he was stopping in Nashville last night. Was coming in today. I think that's a great thing. I think a lot of the timing of it was based around him when he could come,
Good. And it'd be good to have him back. And
Ron and
Denise were really good people.
Oh yeah,
I know you got to know them a little bit. Traveling with them and. It was just tough the way it ended the last year.
Well,
6-0 start.
The way it ended.
Yeah, 6-0, and then 6-6, and then let go. And we had all of that. We don't want to get into all of that now. But I think the thing though that's interesting about Ron Zook and the stretch that he had is he took the program from the bottom, and got it to the Rose Bowl,
in three years,
major accomplishment.
3 years, and a lot of it obviously was recruiting, and the fact that he got it. Ben and Juice Williams, those guys that commit to Illinois when the team was not very good. That's kind of the key to the whole thing. The only way you're going to turn around a program is to convince people to go against the grain, which he did. And I think a lot of that was his personality. He was very forceful, very friendly with the guys. They loved him. They would run through a wall for him. They thought he was kind of funny, like a goofy uncle, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and the other thing is he recruited well. Mike Locksley had connections. Reggie Mitchell was great at it. So that was good. And now Mike Locksley just is now the offensive coordinator at Alabama, right?
Wow, what a great deal for him. I believe he'll be a head coach again at the FBS level. I'm not sure when or where, but I think at some point. He has really undergone a great transformation at Alabama. Went from a consultant position to on the staff and then became obviously coordinator. They're going to keep winning, so he's going to get the credit, and he should.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty easy guy to hire. I was looking at this, Brian. There's so many local connections on that team. You mentioned Jay Layman, of course, but Justin Willis was on that team. Oh, I'm sorry. Jake Willis.
Jake Willis.
One of the Willises is on the team. Yeah. And guys from nearby, Kyle Hudson, Justin Harrison.
Yeah, the Rouses, right?
Rouses were on the team. Yeah. Britt Miller. Guys from Decatur. Michael Humanawanui from Bloomington. So guys from all over the place were on that team. I think that made the people, they bought in. The fans bought in. The team bought in. It was a pretty special time.
Yep. So they'll be getting together. What all do they have planned? Are they doing a dinner? Or
they got a bunch of things. They've got a dinner tonight at the Champaign Country Club, which I'm sure they all remember from the playing days because that's where you go on the night before game. They have a tomorrow they're splitting up a golf for some of the guys at Urbana Country Club and paintball for some of the guys. I'm not sure where that is. It's nearby. Maybe Fisher's, Dewey or somewhere.
Okay.
And then tomorrow night at the Colonnades Club, they're going to have a dinner with the whole team, I think around 6:30 or something like that. That would be pretty cool because a lot of the guys have not seen all the new facilities. They haven't seen some of the things they've done, so I think they'll love being back here.
Yeah. Well, the team made it to the Rose Bowl. What a great setting that was. And the game didn't turn out that good. And that was a great USC team.
Oh, really good,
obviously,
team.
At that point. And then just the win at Ohio State, which was,
correct.
You know, still stands out as one of the great wins of all time.
A game that I actually saw coming. I picked in the paper. Of course, I think picked Illinois every game that year. But I actually picked Illinois against Southern Cal, which was a mistake. But I think that team, again, they kind of everything came together at the right time. And it was really fun to watch. And, again, you mentioned Ron Zook. He brought it together. And the staff brought it together. So pretty special deal.
Well, there was some special plays. Here's a couple more from the Ohio State game. Juice Williams, a touchdown in the end of the game.
Second and goal. Now they're back at the 8. They lost a yard. Good Dufresne. Shotgun snap back. Juice. Pocket closes. Lob to left. Man wide open. Touchdown, Illinois. Brian Gamble. Wide open in the end zone. And the Illini lead the Buckeyes late in the first half. 20-14. Man, was he wide open. The bell is tolling, but I tell you what, it's tolling for Ohio State instead. 35 seconds to go. Juice Williams is going to drop back, and then he is going to slide down back at the 35-yard line. 26 seconds to go, and counting. This one is over. This one is over. And for the first time since 1956, the Illini have defeated number one, and they have shaken up the BCS standings. Look at these Illini coaches hugging each other in a room next to us as the Illini jump all over the field at midfield. Jim Tressel to Ron Zook to shake hands. The clock has run out, and the Illini have defeated the Buckeyes.
And that was a memorable day.
Pretty cool. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It'll be fun to get all those guys back in town and for them to get together.
Yeah. Again, nice group of kids, great coaches, and they were always – pretty nice to deal with. Mm-hmm. You find that too, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
And so you've been covering it this week leading up to it. And
yes.
We'll look for your coverage.
I got more coming. I got another column and some other stuff. So they have always, again, good group of people.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks, Brian. Anytime.
All right. Yep. Bob Osmussen from the News Gazette, of course, beat writer for football for many, many years now, and covered along with us here on the radio the great run to the Rose Bowl there in 2007. And Ron Zook and those guys are all getting back together this weekend here in Champaign. We're at 9:59. The news is coming up next here at 10. We'll talk about panhandling a little bit. Gail Rost, University of Illinois, and Bruce Ramseer from Champaign Police with us here in studio coming up, and then maybe some more open line time at the end. And the news is next. WDWS, Champaign-Urbana at the Tone. It's 10 o'clock Central.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
All right, we're back. Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400, hour number two. We had a busy first hour, a lot of political talk, some of it left over on the text line. Let me get to that here in a moment. Want to tell you that Corey Swanson, Swanson Roofing, the Roofing Dog, is one of our proud sponsors here on Penny for Your Thoughts. They've been with us for many years with Jim and now with me. It's, of course, Corey's a hands-on owner. He's local, graduate of Rantoul High School, the northern end of the county, and the University of Illinois. Works with his wife, Melissa, a truly family-owned business. And the roofing dog crew, comprised of roofing professionals, installation, all of the crew are company employees, receive full benefits and 401Ks. So they're incentivized, again, to do a great job for them, for Corey and Melissa, and, of course, for you, the customer. Swanson Roofing will help you with small repairs. They'll help save your roof. He may come out and say, well, you don't need a whole roof now, but we can fix that. So I just invite you to at least give them a call. Get an estimate. It's free. Why not? Even if Swanson Roofing did not do your roof, they're happy to come out and fix any problems you may have. So Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, provides services in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. 217-355-ROOF. If you prefer the numbers, like my dad does, 355-7663, or visit Swanson Roofing online at theroofingdog.com. Leftover taxes, I think Donald Trump's done a lot of good. We don't see all that clearly because we're beginning to maybe take it for granted. But the Republican Party never stood up to the Democrats like they are now. These hearings with Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, Republicans would never do that in the past. So finally they're getting a backbone, and I think Donald Trump has helped with that. So that's left over from the last hour. And a text, didn't like all the highlights, I guess, says should be called the Brian Barnhart Soundbite Show now. Not much time for the public. Like, okay, I'll take that, but I disagree with you. All right, 10:14 here at DWS, and we've got Gail Rost with us from over at the University of Illinois. How are you? I guess this is right here. Director of Advancement and Corporate Relations.
Yep, that's right.
College of Fine and Applied Arts, Architecture, Landscape Architecture, Urban and Regional Planning.
Yep, that's right.
That's a big title.
It's way too long.
Well, it's good to have you here.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And we've also got from the Champaign Police Department, we've got Bruce Ramseyer, who's here. He is a lieutenant.
That's me.
All right.
Good morning.
And Ramseyer.
Yep, Ramseyer's it.
That is how I said it. Yeah, okay, very good. Good to have you here.
Thank you. How long have you
been with the Champaign Police?
23 years.
23 years.
Yep, still a lot of fun.
You were telling me you used to walk downtown a lot.
Yes, yeah, I had a great walking beat a long time ago. Drank a lot of coffee, met a lot of great folks in the businesses downtown. It was just an absolute blast. So get to sit in your studio and kind of look out over, that's kind of fun right now.
Yeah, the downtown really has been amazing, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's a great source of entertainment, revenue, a lot of fun, a lot of great things that go on down there. So, yeah, it's nice. It's a nice place, all right.
Well, the reason these two are here, and I don't know if you had ever met before.
No, we haven't met, so it's a pleasure.
But it's interesting because Gail had an experience that she relayed on Facebook about panhandling, and this is down in Florida. We'll have her tell that story. And then we're going to talk to our gentleman here from the police department, to Bruce, to talk about panhandling in this area, and you know, is it a widespread problem? We, you know, a lot of times you pull off the interstate, say on 74 at Prospect, and there's somebody there that has a handmade sign, and you want to help them, but you're like, okay, I've seen this guy before, or I've seen him somewhere else, and so trying to differentiate between who really needs help, and then we've got homeless here, obviously, that are needy. We've got a lot of great organizations that help, and of course, we encourage you to support them as well, but I just want to get into that with Bruce here in a little bit. But Gail, tell me your story, first of all, because you were down in Florida. And
sure. I was down on the University of Illinois business in Venice, Florida, in a parking lot for a local department store. And it was one of those things where when I'm traveling, I usually sit in my car with the doors locked, officer.
Good job.
to complete work or, you know, kill time, whatever. I have to, you know, before another appointment. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting in the parking lot with at that time my engine was running. And a gentleman came up to me and came up to the window of the door of the car, and I had the windows closed. Anyway, he knocks on the window, and I thought, oh boy, here we go. So I just rolled it down a crack, and I guess rolled kind of dates me, doesn't it? We don't roll windows anymore. Anyway, let's put the window down a little. And he said, I'll go ahead and try. That was his opening line. And he said, do you I need support. My sister is having trouble. And we've all heard this story before. So but it was compassionate. I mean, he was definitely imploring. And so I said, I said, I'm sorry, but no, I won't be able to help you today. And he just, you know, he just put his arms down in frustration, and he turned around and he got in his truck and drove away. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know. And it, so I know that's a probably a familiar story for everyone, but I received quite a bit of feedback after I posted that, because I was frustrated because I. You know, I'm a good Samaritan. I want to help people, but this puts you in a position where, number one, as a female, you put yourself at risk whenever you're involved in a situation like that. When you're alone, you don't know what the situation is, and then, you know, you don't know if you're being scammed or not. And then, of course, he turns around and gets in a relatively new white truck and speeds off. So that's actually the crux of the story. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and that happened to you, and I, you know, with the whole female being by yourself.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a whole different angle,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, it is.
And so, Bruce, as you've been on the beat all these years, panhandling, is it a big issue?
It is.
Champaign-Urbana?
It is. I mean, it kind of comes and goes, but it's a frustrating issue. I mean, we've got families, you know, whether it be together alone, and they're out shopping. They're trying to do their daily business. And then here comes somebody with a story, and so as I begin to tell this stuff, I don't want to sound that I'm not compassionate and that I don't care. Okay, I'm here to offer the legal side. Okay,
exactly.
I know for a fact that there are a lot of very generous officers, very generous people in town that donate to a ton of different things, have bought lunch for some of these people, have
Absolutely.
Given them bus tickets. I mean, so there's a lot of things. So when I say some of these, I don't want to get all these comments. Maybe you'll screen them because I'm a sensitive guy, and I don't want to get some of these comments that you're getting here. We've got people that want to do, I want to go to the store, and that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be sold this story. I don't want to be, you know, told this. So, yes, like you said, Prospect and I-74, oh, absolutely. Anytime there's an overpass, you know, you're going to have somebody out there. They're going to be downtown. They're going to the campus area. Oh, it's a big area. Because the kids, you know, and not being rude, but they're younger. They are more apt to maybe feel bad, maybe to buy the story. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe some of us with a little salt pepper in our hair might be more inclined to say, you know what, no. I donate to my charities. I donate to this or other things. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong if you want to give. Mm-hmm. Somebody like, oh, well, they're going to use it for drugs. They're going to use it for alcohol. You know, I get that, but maybe not. You don't know what's in their heart.
Exactly.
You don't know what they're going to do. So if you want to give, give and then walk away. If it's safe for you to do it, great, go for it. We're not telling you not to just give to anybody. But there are a lot of things I would want to say, particularly about people on interstates and things that are definitely dangerous. But, yeah, it is a problem in town for sure.
Yep, 356-9397 is how you can join us. If you have any thoughts on this, maybe you've run into this wherever you've been, on the street, downtown, campus, at a store, or wherever. Gail Rost is here from the University of Illinois and Lieutenant Bruce Ramsier from the Champaign Police Department. Just talking about panhandling a little bit. And trying to figure out, because I think at heart we all want to, like, help. We see somebody, and yet how can we, as people that aren't experienced in this, make the right decision to kind of make us feel better about trying to help or not? Do you run into some of it on campus, Gail?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's a daily activity when you're walking through campus town, particularly in the retail section. And I would tell you that my experience has never been negative there. I mean, people are very polite. I've never had someone get angry because I don't give, or in some cases I do give. It just you know, kind of depends what I have in my pocket. I don't carry a lot of cash. But yes, absolutely, I've come across mm-hmm. it pretty much everywhere in town.
And are there any, for those of us lay people, Lieutenant, is there a way to tell, or is it,
you know,
one
there's
time?
There's really not, because some of these guys are good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some of you guys have been doing it for over 20 years. I mean, and legitimately 20 years. There's some folks out there that
it's
know.
It's their business. It's their job.
You know, they know some of these guys by name, and it is.
Okay.
They have insurance on their cars. Some of them have houses. Some of them will fully tell you, no, I'm lying. You know, this, I am not a vet. I am not a whatever I'm putting on my sign. And those things, you know, we struggle at the police department with those, because a lot of us, being prior service, probably took those a little bit too personal and write an extra good report on things like that, because it is extra frustrating. But, no, there's really no way you're going to know. And to debate somebody there is probably not a safe or a wise thing to do. If you want to donate, donate. If not, then you need to move on and say no and then walk away, You'd mentioned how you'd kind of rolled your window down. I kind of grimaced a little.
I'm know, like, I knew, I could tell. I saw you do that.
Once you roll the window down, I'm like, no,
you're engaged.
You're giving into it. So yeah. There's nothing wrong with saying no, and you don't have to be rude about it, but no, right. And then move away close the door or something.
And what's too bad is there are people that are truly in need that are homeless.
Oh,
I know. And we've got a lot of, I don't know what the numbers are. I know See You at Home and others do a lot. Do we have a lot of homeless? I mean, is it a big number?
I don't know the actual number.
I can tell you some stories about that. I used to be the executive director of the Champaign-Urbana Schools Foundation, and we had a program specifically for homeless public school children, and we served 300 children a year. So that, I mean, they're coming from a family that might be from, an emergency situation where they've lost their home the night before due to a crisis or potentially evicted or, you know, ongoing issues. Our particular program at that time was just intervention. I mean, we didn't do long-term solutions.
Right.
But yes, homelessness is an issue, and it can happen very quickly. So I think that the telltale with some of the folks on the street is when you've seen them before. We have some regulars where I know I've gotten the same story from the same person in a parking lot or somewhere else in town. So you know that that's not necessarily a real story. So those are easy to tell. But some of them, I mean, they really are people in need. And so what I try to do is direct them to services that exist.
And the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen right across the street from the police department.
Yes.
If you've never been in there, there's some great folks that work at that place and donate their time. Just do a tremendous job, and they help coordinate for other services for these people. I mean, it's not going to fix everything, but, man, there's a lot of compassion from the folks there, and they really help a lot.
All right, let's go to the phones here. You'll need your headphones there, and let's go to Janice. Good morning, Janice.
Good morning. I've got a question for you. There is a gentleman that panhandles mostly on the U of I campus, but he goes elsewhere in the community. He's been doing this for at least 12 years. He has the same line every single time. Very good-looking gentleman. African-American, usually dressed in a trench coat, sharp dresser, pulls his hair back in a braided ponytail, and has the same line every time, and he comes up assertively to you, walks quickly, and says, "Hey, I'm hoping you can help me. My kids, my wife, and my family, you know, are just down the block, and they're, you know, we just ran out of gas. We got to get back to Chicago. Can you help us with $20? So what's the name of this guy, question, so that way I can say, hello, what's his name? And the second question is it at all illegal to lie and cheat people out of money?
More than likely you're talking about Carl. Carl is a guy that's been soliciting for over 20 years. It's odd that he would stay going to Chicago. Usually he's trying to go to Danville. Where he solicited me 5 times off duty. Lying about things like that, it is technically a form of deception. I won't speak for the courthouse in terms of, you know, would they really view this as a deceptive practice report, because you do have the option to say no. I know we have tried to press that issue a time or two just because we get so frustrated with people being taken advantage of. You know, I've given the example, people claiming they're a vet or claiming they're something when they're not. They're just lying. I don't know that the same thing they would actually, you know, consider a prosecution on, but it's definitely wrong. It's definitely, you know, insulting, especially to you who've encountered the same individual with the same story over and over again.
Yeah. And there's sometimes that it's absolutely frightening. So one of a, you know, at least over a half a dozen times he's approached me over the years. I was in my car. I had, you know, young children and well, I guess not that young, but anyway, I had children in the back seat. My doors and windows are closed. I'm in the parking lot over at Target. He aggressively walks up to me quickly and wanting me to pull my window down and, you know, talk to me and looking like just urgent, quick. And you know what? I don't care what the person is, whether they're dressed nicely or not or whatever. It's a frightening situation. And I'll just add to one more thing to your viewers. I have taken RAD classes. That's Rape Aggression Defense Systems offered by the U of I Police Department. Can't say enough good things about it. Everyone, every woman should take the class. But what they taught us in that class is if somebody comes up and asks for help like this to a woman, chances are it's not a legitimate situation. You know, I don't know if you could just comment on that, but I'll be quiet and listen, and thank you so much.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Janice.
Yeah, well, sorry that happened to you. You know, I've got six kids of my own, and, you know I get a little protective sometime, and I can't even think of my wife in the car by herself if something like that were to happen, so definitely kind of scary. So the advice I'd give, obviously, don't open your window, don't open the door. If you need to, call 911. If not, just back away. I mean, for some reason, we're uncomfortable saying no. We don't want to be rude, you know, whatever it is. But I think we just need to get back into, hey, I need to take care of myself. I need to take care of my kids. I can still donate. I can still help people. But right now, in the present moment, I need to say no, and I need to drive away. You know, especially you're saying up there at Target. You know, heck, there's stores all over the place up there. Everybody's got at least one cell phone, if not a couple. And there's plenty of people that can help people out. And you comment about that RAD class. Oh, absolutely. I've heard just wonderful things about that class. So definitely encourage that for others that are interested. But you're right. If a guy, and I wouldn't call him a gentleman, I'd call him a male, because there's a difference, because gentlemen act a certain way. Whereas just a male with inappropriate behavior, you know, we wouldn't give him the credit of calling the gentleman. So, you know, for him to come up to a female with a bunch of kids in the car who clearly has other things going on, that's just not appropriate. I mean, if he's really neat, he's going to be yelling, screaming, and making a big ruckus, and everyone's going to see him. So I'm sorry that happened to you, and I'm glad it ended okay.
All right.
I was going to say, I think that females in particular, and like in your situation, you know, he may maybe approached you because he thought you'd be sympathetic and feel that urgency and then respond. I know one of the things that I learned in a similar class, I didn't take the RAD, but was that when you're sitting in your car, you always have the door locked. And females tend to sit once they get into the car. And that's a point of vulnerability. So I, you know, certainly when I'm on the road, well, here in town too, I make sure that when I get into the car, I lock the doors so that, yeah, I can't be taken by surprise, especially if I'm sitting there working and engaged, going mm-hmm. through my bag or whatever. But yeah, that's I've had that same experience, and it actually with the same guy. So you know, it's a small town. You got to start to know sure. who these people are.
Absolutely. All right, Paul is with us. Hey, Paul.
Morning, Brian.
Good morning.
Well, I've got a couple of little stories. I hope they're of value.
Oh, sure.
When I was working in Chicago, every expressway exit had a beggar working it, or a con man. And WBBM did a great television story. They followed all of these guys at the end of the day. They went back to a common garage and shared their take, and gave some to their manager, who then would deliver them to a place to sleep for the night. So it was very structured. On occasion, I would walk the streets, and people would come up and ask for food. And my response was, if you're hungry, I'll be glad to buy you a meal. And that never satisfied them, because I wasn't going to give them the money. I was going to buy the meal for them. And the final story is, when I was in high school and my mother was alive, a fellow knocked on her door who looked a lot like Dean Rusk, the Secretary of State, big guy. And my mother looked at him, and he says he wanted some food. And she says, a big, healthy fellow like you, you ought to get out there and work. And he said, lady, if you don't think begging's work, you try it.
Wow. What a story. Wow.
Well, that's all I can contribute
All right.
Today.
Well, thank you, Paul. I appreciate that. We've got with us here Lieutenant Bruce Ramsier from the Champaign Police Department, and also, of course, Gail Ross from the University of Illinois. We've got more to come. We've got news headlines here at the bottom of the hour. We'll continue on this topic. Send me your texts, emails, phone calls. We'll continue to talk about it, but now Michael has the news.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS.
All right, we're back. Penny for Your Thoughts. Summer means pools, picnics, and relaxation. Picnics, that is. It's also the perfect time for a mid-year financial checkup. If you've fallen behind on your goals, Busey can help get you back on track. Rethink big goals Have you been sticking to your budget? Review and ensure you're not overextending yourself. Make changes if you think you can pay more and cut back if needed. Plan to pay off debt as swiftly as your cash flow allows. Don't let those credit card debts get really high. There's no time like the present to ensure your estate planning wishes are documented. There's a message to my loved ones you can get on Busey.com. Hope you take advantage of that. Whatever financial goals you have, Busey can help, from retirement to funding your child's college education, from buying your first home to expanding your business, creating an investment, set up a 401k for your employees. All of that can be done here during the summer times at the mid-year. Enjoy your summer free from financial worries. Busey.com, place to go for that, or stop by one of their many convenient locations. Lieutenant Bruce Ramsier is with us from the Champaign Police Department, long time on the force. Gail Ross is with us from the University of Illinois, Director of Advancement in Corporate Relations, College of Fine and Applied Arts, Architecture, Landscape Architecture, Urban and Regional Planning is her title. And she was telling us, if you just joined us, about her panhandling experience down in Florida, talking to Lieutenant Ramsier about what goes on here. You wanted to comment on what Paul said.
Right, yeah, your last caller, Paul, was talking about how he'd heard a story of, panhandlers, more of an organized effort where they were, you know, maybe just given a sign and then collected at the end of the day, things like that. I've actually heard that around here as well, where we would get out with people and we'd ask what's on their sign and they would have to look, like, I don't know what's on my sign. How do you not know what's on your sign? Well, you know, I met up with a group of guys. They said, hey, you want to make some money? So they dropped me off. I hold the sign. And then at the end of the day, we just, split the winnings and off we go. So a little corroboration to his story there.
Yeah, so it happens here too.
Yeah.
Not just in the big cities like Chicago. All right, back to the phones we go here for our guest, Gail Ross, and for Lieutenant Bruce Ramsier. Here's Ray. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. I have a story about panhandlers, and one I ran into. I'm around town a lot with the mowing business, and I come up to stop signs and stop lights. And the guy comes up to me, and I have my window down because I'm not going to roll it up in the middle of summer. I don't care how hot it is out. It just doesn't do any good. He comes up to me, and he says, hey, can you help me out? And I said, well, what do you need? And his cell phone goes off in his pocket. So I looked at him. He looked at me, and I thought, you're not getting anything out of me. And he just shrugged his shoulders, smiled, and walked away.
Yep, they're pretty brazen. You probably chuckle because you're like, well, you've got enough money for a cell phone. You probably don't need my help for getting a meal today. Is that right?
I don't. That's my whole point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
I know it's a problem, and you hate to say no, but sometimes you just have to. I give to other organizations that help these people out. Mm-hmm.
Well,
to be honest with you.
That's good, Ray. Hey, thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Take care. Have a good day. Have a good weekend.
You too. Good to visit Bye-bye. With you, Ray. And Gail, you would agree with giving to
absolutely,
because there's a lot of really great organizations.
There are, and those are not that difficult to find. So it's one of those things where you just inform and then support organizations that are doing good work mm-hmm. through the churches, through various social organizations in town. So mm-hmm. yeah.
And Bruce, are there a lot of that you've run across these folks where they could probably go get the help?
Oh, absolutely. Some of them do get the help,
yeah.
And then they just go out there for a side job. So you will see them in multiple places. So and the whole topic of, you know, coming up to you on a car, that's just totally wrong. And even if you think someone's just, you really want to give to this person and you just really feel compelled to do it, then you need to pull around the corner, get into a parking lot and stop and then talk to that person, because, you know, not to be rude, but you're now part of the problem because you're stopping in traffic to engage in this person, have this conversation. That's wrong. It's against the law. You can't walk into traffic. You're not even supposed to hold a sign facing towards traffic. So those are problems. Other people are looking at the green light. They're not looking at you stopped in traffic trying to be generous. Pull around the corner if you really want to do something.
Jane texts in, says, I asked the panhandler once if he could spare me a dollar. Of course, he did not have it. Thanks, Jane. Also, Mark in Champaign says, while the law does not allow a person to stand on a highway for the purpose of soliciting contributions, he lists 625 ILCS, all of that. It's up to the private businesses. Is it up to the private businesses when they solicit in parking lots or access roads, since it's outside the definition of highway?
Good question. So there are a lot of particulars. And in terms of the police department, we want to be very cautious as to how we potentially take away people's rights. You know, mm-hmm. people are allowed to assemble, they're allowed to talk, they're allowed to do a lot of different things. So if it's your business, and somebody comes into the business and you, for whatever reason you don't want them, you tell them to leave once. And when they don't leave, then you call us because now they're trespassing. If you have a sign posted that says no soliciting and they do it, you call us. That's a violation right there. You know, other access ways, other parking lots, they would be controlled by the businesses themselves, and they could, you know, ban people. They can serve them with papers and things like that. You know, you as a citizen don't necessarily need to be concerned with all the particulars. What you need to know is if you feel uncomfortable, you feel threatened, you need to take care of yourself, and then you need to call us if that's mm-hmm. that's something that's warranted.
What's the best number for the police? Is it the main number?
Yeah, the 911, obviously, if it's a crime in progress. If it's a non-emergency and it's something, look, I want to report it, but I don't want to tie up an emergency line. It's the same dispatch center. You may even get the same call taker, but it's the 333-8-911. Okay. Same building, same everything. You'll still get the same police to show up, but it is the non-emergency side of the Metcalf Dispatch Center.
Okay. Back to the phones here with Gail and with Bruce. And Gerald, good morning.
I had a couple comments. How long can you survive with stage 4 brain cancer or lung cancer, whatever his sign says?
you're talking about the guy up on the highway?
Okay.
Well, no, there's an older guy that has, I think it's stage 3 lung cancer, mm-hmm. that stands at Neil and Church.
Yep, just down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then there's a younger guy that's mentally ill with stage 4 cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is the Phoenix, when they first moved the Phoenix down to where it is now,
mm-hmm.
They had a story on Channel 3. And everybody in the video, they were all sitting there playing on cell phones.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a bunch of homeless people with cell phones.
Well, yeah, and the signs we've seen, right? I mean, that's
yep.
That's standard operating
procedure. Yeah, I mean, the same guy stands there for. I'm a driver, so I see people. All day long, every day.
Sure. Now, I do know there are a lot of programs where they've been giving out free cell phones for the last bunch of years, so I know that does occur. I know there are some family members that put somebody on a plan and they just give them a phone because it's cheap. So I think I kind of have to get past the days of, oh, if you have a cell phone, you're whatever. And I think you can make the argument you go to some other country, their version of poverty is probably a lot different than ours. But that doesn't take away the fact that some of these people are struggling, like you said, do have mental health problems. In terms of the sign and the illness and how long does cancer and stuff, you know, I hope I never have to find that answer out. You know, I don't know. You know, it is frustrating, you know, for your side and for others that have to see the same thing over and over and over and over again. It does get a little old, and I think that's the part where we tend to get a little short, a little callous, because it's easy when you see it all the time. So, you know, but again, you're not compelled to give. You're not compelled to roll that window down. You call if they get in your way, then you call us, and we'll deal with it.
All right. I think it's...
Go ahead, Gail.
Oh, I was just going to say that, I mean, that issue of mental health is a really important one. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to think
I don't really think that he's mentally ill. I think him and there's an older woman and the older guy and there's another woman that's down in the downtown area. I think they're all related.
Ah, oh, okay. Well, there you go.
And that could very well be.
A family pattern or something.
I've seen them together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I used to work at a gas station and they used to meet, you know, where the Dunkin' Donut is on Prospect.
Absolutely, I do.
That used to be a gas station. And they used to meet there at the end of the day.
Okay.
Mm. Okay.
Somebody come pick them up.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thank you, Gerald.
Yep, and thank you.
And Gail, you were talking about the mental health aspect of it.
Well, yeah, I tend to think that these wouldn't necessarily be careers or jobs of choice, right? I mean, they're a choice, but what's behind that? And I would imagine that several of these people have issues that they're dealing with in one form or another. Yeah. And I think mental health plays a role mm-hmm. in this.
And again, we're not, you know, there are legitimate people who
exactly.
are hurting, who
exactly.
are homeless, who need help, and that we've got great agencies that get involved. And this is more talking about, you know, the people that are kind of taking advantage of the generosity that a lot of people have, especially here in the Midwest and in our community, that want to help, and yet you're like, well, I don't know if I should or not. Liz, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to share a story about a friend of mine that from the American Legion auxiliary on 24 here on Bloomington Road. Well, she goes out on the van with another lady from our unit, and they take food out and sandwiches and so forth. And then they always have a few things for the veterans, a different bag of items that they could use. And so she saw this young man. He said he was a veteran, and he was 24. And she said, oh, well, what war did you fight in? And he said, the Korean War. And so she said, I bet you wished you'd been in the service, don't you? And he laughed, and so he knew she was wise to him.
Yep, and a lot of this stuff can really just be foiled by a follow-up question, you know? If you're not equipped and you're not really wanting to have that argument, you know, then just say no and walk away. But, you know, in that case, you know, clearly you guys have been there and seen there, done that a lot of times. That was a good question and a good response.
Yeah, whenever I'm approached, I always offer to buy them a meal, and many times I'm turned down.
Yep.
They just want the money, so I don't give it to them anymore. I have bought gas for people before at the gas station, and then I tell them, well, why do you travel when you don't have any money with you? You should just stay home.
All right. Hey,
so,
Liz,
okay.
Thank you for the call. Mark also had a second question. Does CPD, Champaign Police Department, proactively address solicitation in the public roads or only after complaints?
Both. Mm-hmm. There are some officers that have a lot of experience with stuff like this. We know people by name, and we get a little, I don't want to say upset, a little frustrated when they don't listen to us. So we'll go back. And we've had days where an officer had written 2, 3, 4 tickets to the same guy because some of this stuff is not jailable. So there are limits on what we can do. I can keep writing the same ticket, but then what's the remedy once they do that? If they're homeless, is the court going to make them pay money? There's a lot more to it. But yes, we will proactively go out, and we'll also respond to calls when people call.
All right, then a text, not so much a question. It says, I'm pretty sure that was Paul Davis that called in. Yes, the newsman.
We all recognize his voice.
Great to hear his voice. We need a quick break. Back with Gail Roston with Lieutenant Bruce Ramsier after this. Everybody knows Mike Namoff. He was just out with us for the Kiwanis Challenger League, Tom Jones Challenger League All-Star Game. He was our pitcher. We appreciate that. He's big in town, of course, with his furniture stores. This Is It Furniture over at the Country Fair Shopping Center, Springfield and Mattis. But Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop as well. They're all under one roof. And you won't find a store like this anywhere else. All the different mattresses they have. We're talking luxury mattresses here. And also pillows. Pillows make a big difference. They have pillows for people who get hot while sleeping. Aromatherapy for comfort and calming. Ventilated pillows for breathable comfort. High loft pillows for back and side sleepers. If you're a stomach sleeper. What they want to do is get you your best sleep ever, and they will do that in any way they can with the right mattress and pillow. They've got the reveal machine that will show you where your pressure points are. So you can check out all the bamboo bedding. They have French linen made from flax grown in France. I mean, where else are you going to find that? But it's Snooze Luxury Mattress Shop combined with This Is It Furniture, Country Fair Shopping Center, Springfield and Madison, Champaign. Make sure you say hi to Big Mike Namoff. Got a text in. Castle Heating and Cooling text line says, I haven't seen him for a while, but there was a guy who often sat at the intersection in front of Sam's Club with a sign that read, need bus ticket. I was always tempted to ask him where he was going all the time and why he didn't just stay there once he got there. is there a bus to Danville, by the way?
I'm sure we could find something. Yeah. And some of our more motivated officers are like, you know what, I'll drive you there myself. Yeah.
But that's a common one, the one about I need a bus ticket.
Yeah, a bus ticket, train ticket, any family. They want to tug at your heartstrings.
It plays at our fear, too.
It does.
Of getting stuck somewhere.
It absolutely does. But I got to remind everybody, said, look, there's a lot of great and wonderful people in this town. Very generous, very charitable. Like I said, I could go down the list of the things I've physically seen my officers buy and do for people, from Christmas presents to fixing a sliding door to all these things. So I want to assure the public that if somebody truly does need help, they're going to get it, and they don't necessarily have to come to your window to get it or to the front door of your house to get it. You need to take responsibility for your safety. Don't be afraid to say no. You don't have to be rude. Just say no, and if you need to, then call the police. But don't fall for all this stuff.
Lieutenant Bruce Ramsier with us here this morning from the Champaign Police Department. Gail Ross from over at the University of Illinois. Stan is here. Hi, Stan. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, guys. Thanks for being on the air. Anyway, I've got multiple stories to tell, but let me tell you this one because I kind of like it. I go to the Urbana Walmart fairly often, and there was this guy maybe a couple of years ago now that would stand out there by 1:30 with a sign asking for money. And I passed him by several times, and finally I was coming out of Walmart, and there was a car in front of me that just had one person in it. I don't know if it was a male or female, but he was there with his sign, and the person in the car in front of me literally ran the red light so they wouldn't have to stop for the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pulled up to him, and I said, "Wow, you really scared the you-know-what out of that one, didn't you?" And he laughed and said, "Yeah, sometimes people are kind of crazy." And I said, "Here, I'll give you a dollar." So I gave him a dollar. Next time I'm there, we talk a little more. I find out he's waiting for Social Security disability. So I made it my job to give him a dollar or $2 or $5 every time I saw him at that Walmart or any place else in town. And eventually he disappeared. I'm assuming that as we talked, he kept saying, "Well, it's just supposed to be a month away, yada, yada, yada." And I think eventually he got his Social Security disability.
All right. Hey, that's a great story, Stan. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Well, let's just get some final thoughts here. Obviously, again, you're free to help if you want, but just be smart, right?
Yeah. About all this. You need to take care of yourself and take care of your property and not just expect somebody else to do it for you. I mean, the police were happy to come out and help you. Don't get me wrong. But if there are things that are preventable, We want you empowered to be able to go out and enjoy your day, enjoy your family, enjoy your shopping experience, be it downtown, up on the interstate, wherever it is you're going to enjoy it. And just because somebody's there doesn't mean it has to ruin your day. So if you don't want to deal with it, don't roll down the window. Don't talk to them. And if there's a problem, call us. So you shouldn't feel intimidated. You shouldn't have to feel these things. So if you really need it, call us. But definitely, you know, drive away and make yourself safe. Mm-hmm.
And Gail, any
I was just gonna thank Lieutenant Ramsier because I've learned something here today. So thank you very much. It's been good to hear what the side of the law is and what you're thinking about. I also would just continue to encourage you not to be cynical. You know, keep an open heart, and there are ways that we can help people that have mental health issues and have housing issues and homeless issues in this community, and to find ways to support the organizations that are doing really good work. So.
Well, it's great to have you both in studio.
Thank you.
Thank
yeah.
you to, for coming by and sharing with us. And we'll maybe this is sure it'll be a topic that'll be around for a long time.
Absolutely. Happy to come back and help. And thanks for having us.
Very good. And Gail, we may talk to you sometime about a different topic.
Yeah, I'm excited. Let's bring it on.
We'll do that later on. By the way, our last text was from Ed in Catlin. So, Ed, we appreciate you getting that text in about the bus ticket. And that's going to wrap it up here for today. Again, we appreciate Gail Ross being with us. And, of course, also Bruce Ramsier from the Champaign Police Department talking about panhandling here. And I hope that was educational and informative for you and something to think about heading into the weekend. We're back on Monday with more Penny for Your Thoughts. Tuesday morning, we'll broadcast live from the Big Ten Media Day in Chicago. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for being with us on WDWS Champaign-Urbana at the Tone. It's 11 o'clock.